Nazir Perek Vav, Mishnah Ches, 6-8, and the Mishnah continues to discuss the Tiglachas HaTahara, the concluding procedure once the Nazir is completed with his requisite time period. So the first part of our Mishnah discusses what's called Kriyas Shem, the proper designation, the requisite designation of Korbanos prior to being brought. So the general rule is, if a person's going to bring an offering, if it's a chatas, he has to say, harezu chatas, and formally designate it, calling it by its name, saying this animal is now consecrated as a chatas, etc. So really, ideally that should happen for the nazir as well. He's bringing three different offerings. You'll recall, he brings the chatas, that's a kivsa, a female sheep in its first year, an ola, that's a keves, it's a male sheep in its first year, and then he brings the shlamim, that's an isle, a ram, so it's at least 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day old, meaning a male sheep in its 14th month or older. So really, ideally, he should say harezu ola, harezu shlamim, harezu chatas. But what if he doesn't? So Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, hevi shalosh behemos velo ferish. If he brings three animals and he doesn't specify which one is the chatas, which one is the ola, which one is the shlamim, he simply says, these are my karbanos for my nazirus. In Hebrew, he'd say, hare elu l'nazirosai. These are for my nazirus. So then, that's going to be okay, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, because since each of the animals only could be one possibility, the first year male has to be ola, the first year female has to be a chatas, the second year ram has to be a shlamim. So therefore we know what's what, and therefore it's sufficient. So says the Mishnah, Harui lechatas tikrav chatas, the only one that could be the chatas, that's brought as a chatas. La ola tikrav ola, the only one that could be an ola, a burnt offering is brought as a burnt offering, the ola. Le shlamim, and the only one which could be the shlamim, tikrav shlamim, is brought as a shlamim, period. Fine. Okay, new paragraph, new topic regarding the Tiglachas HaTahara, the final procedure of the Nazir. So, now, the pasuk specifies that the nazir is supposed to take the hair that he shears off his head and put it under the dud, the cauldron in which the shlamim is being boiled. The pasuk says, because the nazir has the shlamim, and part of the procedure is the nazir's shlamim gets boiled in a pot. Now the pasuk says, "Vegilach hanazir pesach oel moed es rosh nizro." The nazir should shave his hair of his Naziris at the Pesach Ol Moed, at the entrance to the meeting tent, meaning the Mishkan. Now, Pasuk continues, V'lakach es ar rosh nizro, he takes that hair, V'nasan al ha'esh asher tachas zevach ha'shlamim, and he puts it in the fire that's beneath the shlamim offering. So that's the source of the Pasuk. Now, the Pasuk says it has to be done at Pesach Ol Moed, the entrance to the Ohel Moed. Chazal understand that can't be taken literally. The reason why is because it's sort of inconceivable that we'd be doing haircuts in the Beis HaMikdash proper, and therefore something else to learn from it. We actually saw before that one possibility is it's telling you that it has to be specifically the haircut should be done after the Shlamim, which is referred to also by Pesach Ohel Moed. A second drasha that could be learned out from there is that it has to be done while the Beis HaMikdash is open, while the Ohel Moed is patuach and open, meaning during the daytime. The Rambam actually effectively learns both those drushas from this pasuk, and therefore that's the din. Those are the dinim. Lahalacha, it should be haircut, should be after the shlamim, it should be during daytime, but not specifically where it has to be done. And therefore, really, the truth is the haircut could happen anywhere. The common practice was to do the haircut in one of the four lishkaos, the chambers that existed in the Ezrus Nashim, the one section, the lesser, I'll call it lesser sanctified section, there in the eastern part of the Beis HaMikdash, and the southeast Lishka was used for the haircutting of the Nazirim, etc. So that's where it was done in practice. And just finishing out my speaking outside first, the Gemara understands that, also learned from Pesukim there, that some of the rotev, the juice, like the gravy that's in the pot, is taken out of the pot in which this ram is boiling. It's put on the hair that was cut off of the nazir prior to that hair going under the cauldron. Okay, that's the procedure. So here the Mishnah says inside, Hayanotal Sa'ar Rosh Nizro. The next step was he would take the hair that he took from his Nazir's head, his Nazirite head, Umishalech Tachas Adud, and then he puts that with that rotev, that gravy, under the cauldron, which is cooking the shlamim. Now, says the Mishnah, Im Gilach B'Medina, if the haircutting that he did occurred in the Medina, Medina, according to the Bar Tanura and most, refers to anywhere other than the Beis HaMikdash. Although the Rambam famously learns that Medina refers to Yerushalayim, the whole walled area. Okay, that's a big nafkaminas. In any case, we'll go with the Bar Tanura for a moment here, meaning if he, I guess he can tick two boxes. If he did his haircut elsewhere, in Tel Aviv, so the question is now, is he allowed to put that Tachas Adud? The answer is yes. Hai Mishalech Tachas Adud, says the Mishnah, yes, he can. Now, the reason why is because, like I said before, even though it said at the Pesach Ol Moed, we understand that's not referring literally to that. Now, that is the version of our Mishnah. It's the version of Yerushalmi. It's the version that the Rambam had. And that's the Rambam Paskins, that the haircut can happen anywhere and the hair can still go under the pot. Now, the version of the Mishnah that the Bar Tanura had, and the version of the Mishnah that we actually have in the Bavli, in our version of the Gemara, is that actually, lo, he may not put it under the pot if he cut his hair in the Medina. The haircutting has to happen by the temple complex, and if not, then it's ineligible. Now, I just got finished explaining to you how Pesach Ol Moed isn't understood literally. That's fine. But there's a second, like I'll call it, drasha that's made there, which is that it has to be done in a place that in a situation in which nothing is left besides the lakicha and the nasina, just taking the hair and putting it under. So meaning it has to be done right as the time and place where they're doing the boiling of the shlamim. So it has to be done right there. If it's not done there, then it can't be sent under. So the Rambam says it can be done anywhere, but the Bar Tanura says, no, it has to be done specifically in the temple complex, right by where they're doing the boiling of the Shlamim, and if not, then lo haya mishlech tachas adud. The Bar Tanura's version of the Mishnah is it may not otherwise be put under that cauldron. B'medavar mamurim. Now, what are we talking about? In what context? Says the Mishnah, b'tiglachas atahara. We're just talking about the haircutting that happens at the conclusion of the Nazir's entire process, when he's now ready to become tahor and return to normal life. Avol b'tiglachas atuma. With respect to the haircutting he does in the middle of his Naziras, should he become exposed to corpse tuma, where we learn that if that happens to him, he has to have a procedure, he has to become tahor, shave his hair and start again. So the hair that he shaves mid-Naziras before he starts again, does that have to also go under the dud? Lohia mishalech tachas adud, says the Mishnah, no, it does not. Only the final haircutting and not that. And well, that is the din. We have a machlokus. Rabbi Meir Omer, hakol mishalchen tachas adud. Rabbi Meir says, no, all hair goes under the dud, whether it's from tiglachas atuma or tahara. All the nazir's hair is collected and saved and put there. Chutz, with the only exception, minatame shib medina bilvad. Unless the hair, if you will, has two strikes against it, meaning A, it wasn't done for the tiglachas tahara, rather the tiglachas atuma, and when it was done for tiglachas atuma, mid Naziris, it wasn't done in the Medina. It was done somewhere in the Medina, outside of the Mikdash area. So if it has both strikes against it, then it does not end up under the dud. But if it has either of the two factors, meaning either the haircutting did happen in the temple complex, or it was done for Diglachas Tahara, wherever that happened, so then it would, yes, go under the cauldron, says Rav Meir. But the lach again is like Rabbi Yehuda, and the way the way that the Rambam brings it, as long as it's done for the Tiglach Sahara, as long as it's done anywhere, it doesn't make a difference. Yes, it goes under the dud as it's cooking the shlam of the Nazir.